Last night, or I should say early this morning, both Supreme Court candidates went home not knowing who won. Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg was hopeful.
It's not over yet. We're still hopeful. So thank you all, and let's all get a good night's sleep and see what tomorrow brings. Thank you.
And so was Justice David Prosser.
I'm very pleased that we have sustained the most difficult assault on a person's character in the whole history of the Wisconsin judiciary. We're still in this race. We've weathered the nuclear blast, and I'm still standing and will be weathering it.
We will talk about this too close to call race this hour, and we'll welcome your reactions and your thoughts this morning. Is this what you expected, a race that is too close to call, 50-50, with 99% of the vote counted? Justice Prosser has a narrow lead over Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. The rest of the vote will be counted today, and there is talk that there could be a recount in the end. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I should say, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this day after Election Day, Wednesday, April the 6th. We have invited a number of guests to join us with their thoughts this morning, and we will bring them to you throughout the hour. But mainly, this is an hour for you to react on the meaning of what we experienced yesterday as we wait for the final votes to be counted. What does this tell you? What message was sent? Are you pleased or disappointed this morning in that message? We will start with Chuck Kornbach, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
I understand that you just recently talked with the Associated Press, and we have an update.
That's right. Within the last hour, incumbent Justice Prosser got some good news. His margin over challenger Joanne Kloppenburg is now up to 835 votes, according to the AP's count. That rose from about 585 a few hours ago. So there were some numbers from Milwaukee County that came in that helped Prosser more than they helped Kloppenburg. So again, Prosser up by 835.
835. And what are we waiting for still?
Well, according to the AP's system here, there's about 24 precincts not in yet out of 3,606. There's Ashland, 6 precincts, Crawford, 2, Dane, 1, Dunn, 2, Jefferson, 1, Juneau, 1, Milwaukee County, 2, Sauk, 8, and Taylor, 1. Now, according to the AP's Roger Schneider, who was twice this morning, been very kind to take a moment to speak to me, twice about 7 hours apart. I'm not sure if he went home in the interim. In some cases, the precincts have no one in them, so there's not going to be perhaps any more numbers coming in. But what the AP is going to be doing now over the course of the day is contact the communities and double-check these numbers. These are numbers that are Sometimes they're faxed in, or they're going to ask them to fax them in. Sometimes the numbers have come in by fax. Sometimes the AP has gone to websites, county websites, if available. Sometimes the AP calls out. Sometimes the communities call in. So, as the AP stressed, there is a certain amount of human error that is a potential here of transcribed numbers, a misunderstood information, and so on. So it's going to be a time of double-checking and contacting the communities to see if the numbers are as true as they seem at this point.
I'm still a little bit unclear, though. Perhaps in some cases the precincts are precincts that have no votes to be counted? Is that?
Yeah, I can't explain much more than that, because I didn't want to take too much of Roger's time, but that's what he said. But there are certainly probably some votes out there yet that haven't come in. This news for Mr. Prosser in the last hour or so is pretty significant. Doesn't mean that the numbers are exactly right. He at 736, 878, Kloppenburg at 736, 043. The numbers may still change. And, of course, an important reminder here, these will be unofficial results as tabulated by the AP and working with the communities, unofficial until the Government Accountability Board does its canvassing, working with communities over the next, could be as long as several days to a week, to get some official results. So again, this is the AP's compilation, usually pretty close to being on target, but things could change. And then the question is whether it's worth it to, if Kloppenburg is still behind, whether it's worth it to ask for the recount.
Yeah, right. And that's what I was going to get at. We talked with a guest earlier this morning who thought that some of the precincts yet to be counted were precincts that might tend to favor Kloppenburg. Is there, do we know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, if your guest said, and what I was thinking as well, is that in some of the counties that I listed missing precincts, these were counties that went for Kloppenburg. Not all of them, but most of the ones I listed went for Kloppenburg. And if the trend for the whole, if the whole county was going the whole way some of the county did, then yeah, there would be a benefit to the challenger. But, it's not necessarily the case. It could be a large county with a split between rural and urban votes. It could be neighborhoods making a difference. It could be Kloppenburg picking up some more. But when she didn't from Milwaukee County, that made me think that I'm not sure if she can make up the gap. But again, these are unofficial results.
Right. And we don't know exactly what will happen. But if either candidate wants to, a recount could be called?
That's right. And I just got some, the screen, AP screen just changed again, but none of the numbers changed. Sorry for the delay. That's right. It will cast, reporters will get a great education on the recount process in Wisconsin. We've seen it certainly at the local levels. We have not seen a state one in at least recent memory. And there will be a great spotlight shown on certain people at the Government Accountability Board, as well as clerks from precincts that don't have all the numbers in, or apparently don't have all the numbers in. It will be a sort of a community education process in rapid order with a lot of bright television lights.
Well, Chuck, I know you worked long and hard last night and early this morning, too. Anything else before we let you go?
Impressive turnouts in some communities that I think the civic process got a lot of people engaged here.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Okay.
Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio, state, our reporter based in Milwaukee, telling us that the latest news from the Associated Press counting votes this morning is that some votes came in from Milwaukee or Milwaukee County that gave Justice Prosser a few hundred more over challenger Joanne Kloppenburg. We will continue getting the very latest and getting your reactions and talking with different guests as we move along this morning. And we do have with us a number of guests that we invited to join us with their reactions or analysis. And our next guest is Dennis Riley, who is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
So what is your take on this too-close-to-call race?
Well, it's really interesting when any race is that close. It's an interesting thing. And, of course, this had so much money spent. There were so many ads being run. It wasn't a typical Supreme Court race, though neither was the one between Gableman and Butler three years back. That wasn't exactly normal either, so maybe this is going to be the new normal for Supreme Court races.
Yeah. What message was sent by this this very close race? Some were saying that this was pro-union, anti-collective bargaining message being sent, a referendum on Governor Walker's policies. And the other side says, no, this is, what the silent majority came out to vote yesterday, too. And by voting for Justice Prosser, they're showing their support for Governor Walker. Are either side right on that?
Well, not entirely, of course, because you really can never quite tell. We'll need to see the exit polling to see what people say about why they voted. But it's almost impossible at this moment to see anything political in Wisconsin except through the prism of Scott Walker and the Republican budget repair bill and the court challenges to the bill and the protests in Madison. I mean, that creates such a powerful image in our minds. It's pretty hard to think about political things without thinking about that first. And so there's a good chance that there was an element of that in the vote, in the numbers of people who showed up to vote, which were higher than usual in terms of this kind of spring election, one statewide race, and so on. So we had a lot more people out, a lot more money was spent. Yeah, so it's hard to see it through any other filter but I don't think it really fully sends that message.
It was a higher than usual voter turnout. I saw a figure of 33% as a statewide average. I guess it's normally closer to 20%.
Right.
But still, is that very impressive?
Well, you know, you sort of have to gauge things by what you have come to expect, and we come to expect in a spring election, Supreme Court, a bunch of mayors, and the occasional county executive that basically only one out of five of us is going to bother to participate. And it went up to one out of three. And so, yeah, I think it's significant in that sense. Mm-hmm. And it does indicate that there's a lot more interest in this than there normally would have been. Mm-hmm. And that has to come from the budget stuff, whether it sends a message or not. And if it does send a message, it probably sends a message that we're pretty evenly divided on the question.
Yeah. So what do you expect? How is this going to play out if this is going to be as close as it sounds like it's going to be and there is a recount? What happens when that if someone calls for a recount?
They go back, you know, literally they go back in and they look at whatever way in which you vote in a particular county and a particular community. I mean, you know, ours is now you mark a paper ballot. But it goes straight into a little machine that counts it and tells you, yes, I got it, you filled it out correctly, and so on. So that should be pretty easy to check those numbers again. It'll just be a matter of adding them up. But in some counties, I suppose, there are different ways of deciding how many people voted which way, and they'll have to go back. Some counties will probably have to go back and actually look at each ballot over again and make sure they put it in the right column. And it is, you know, human error is always lurking around the corner. So if this thing ends up under a couple of thousand votes, the person that's behind has got to call for a recount.
And so I don't know if there is a typical amount of time that a recount takes, but are we talking several weeks, several months?
It won't be months, but it will be weeks, because first they'll have to do the official. The official count, as Chuck was saying, and that takes a few days before it's certified by the Government Accountability Board. Then there's 3 days that the candidate has to decide whether to call for a recount or not. And then you have to get all these, you know, all these ballots have to be secured now and held and all the rest of that. Then you go back in and you look. I don't think it's a matter of months, but it will be a matter of weeks before we're actually done with it all, which becomes really important in the context of the lawsuits about the collective bargaining bill. The Supreme Court has been asked to take one, you know, about the open meetings law violation. They haven't said whether they will yet, but how long can they wait before they agree to hear that particular piece of it? They may just try to outwait Judge Sumi and sort of hope that she gets an official decision out rather than what she'd done so far. And you've got other lawsuits. I mean, this is really going to be a tangled up mess.
We're talking with Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. And we also welcome your thoughts and questions on the race for state Supreme Court justice in the state of Wisconsin, which at this time remains too close to call. A 50-50 split in the votes between Justice David Prosser and his challenger, Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take a call or two now, and perhaps Professor Riley can respond. Kathy in Jefferson County. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I was not surprised that it was so close. It's the only statewide election since the debacle. And I just think it just still shows how split Wisconsin is. And, you know, what looks to me like the party's trying to split worker against worker, you know, pit them against each other, I think it's working. And they're still staying, you know, opposed to each other.
Yeah. So this shows Dennis Riley that there's a deep division in Wisconsin.
Well, I think it does, although, again, we don't want to read too much into it because there are also people who voted for reasons quite separate from this whole business of the collective bargaining thing. It does show that we're not united on certain kinds of things, but it's always hard to know when you're voting for a Supreme Court justice candidate, what am I voting for, what am I voting about? In part, I'm voting about the collective bargaining bill, but I'm voting about records and I'm voting about images of people. And, you know, there's just so many things that go into a voter's head in a race like this. There's no clear-cut ideological vision. There's no clear-cut, you know. So it's just really hard to know what exactly people were doing. But, yeah, we're kind of a divided state. We know that.
Yeah, I had a caller earlier this morning who said that based on the 33% of voter turnout that 33% of us are divided and the rest, whatever, 67% are not engaged. What do you think of that?
Well, that I think that's a bit of an overstatement, but certainly there is a certain sense in which a lot of us are not engaged. I mean, when we vote for governor, we don't get much above 60% of us showing up to vote for who's going to lead the state for 4 years. We don't get turnouts in the 70s and 80s for state legislative elections. We get them in the 40s and low 50s. That's just how it is. So we have a certain segment of the population. I don't think it's 2/3 of us that are not engaged, but it's certainly in the 30 to 40% range that are not engaged enough to vote on even the most pressing matters.
So will the potential, probable recall elections that are being prepared for by both Republicans and Democrats, will that be a better bellwether of what's going on?
Well, sure, because that will engage those who are dedicated partisans who may or may not have showed up in this one. They probably did, but they may not have. The dedicated partisans will be engaged in this. The unions will be engaged in a much more direct way. Opposition to the unions, you know, whatever that might be called, will be engaged in a more direct way. So, yeah, I think we'll get a little more turnout, and we'll get a much better read on how people felt about that particular kind of question.
Anything else before we let you go on the race that we haven't discussed?
Well, I don't know. I'm really, I'm not surprised it was very close, but it just leaves us in such a delicate state because it is the state's highest court. It has a lot to do besides the collective bargaining rules, and these two people are relatively different in terms of their approach to certain kinds of things. But we need to get the Supreme Court settled. We need to get it back kind of able to look at all kinds of questions. And this is really unsettling in some fairly fundamental sense. But if you're going to elect your justices, you're going to get unsettled situations sometimes.
Do you think it will lead to changes in the way we select our Supreme Court justices?
I kind of doubt it. I mean, I think that's just such a longstanding Wisconsin tradition to elect the people to the Supreme Court. They get a 10-year term when they get elected. A good many of them are like David Prosser. They're actually appointed when someone steps down from the court. They're appointed, and then they run at the next election, which is what Prosser did. Tommy Thompson put him on the court. Shirley Abramson was put on the court by a governor. I mean, you know, and then they stay because they gain public confidence. So, you know, I don't think we're going to make a change in that, no.
Thank you very much for being with us.
All right, Joyce.
Dennis Riley is a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Getting the thoughts of some guest experts and your thoughts this morning as we are waiting to find out who is the victor in the race for state Supreme Court justice. Justice David Prosser now has an 830 35-vote lead over Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. This is with 99% or so of the vote counted. Still some precincts still to be counted. And we'll bring you any updates as they come along this hour. Wondering what message you think this sends. What does this mean to you that this race was so close? Is this what you expected? Dan in Green Bay. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, this is exactly what I would have expected. I mean, it doesn't to take much intelligence to realize that what really was going on here is the artificial polarization of the people who had just gone through getting their collective bargaining rights taken away. So they were polarized, and they wanted to go and, you know, and just say that we're showing somebody we don't like that. But it doesn't represent a large percentage of the population in the state of Wisconsin. I, by and large, you can see that the state of Wisconsin is still in favor of the, what would I say, conservative ways that we need to get to, because Wisconsin is going to be going broke if we don't do something about it. I mean, we just got to say no to some of these things, and putting somebody in there just for that reason without, you know, it's like shooting from the hip and not really taking an educated look at it. And I think a lot of the people, if they knew what was in the collective bargaining besides the rights that they were bargaining for, they would become educated enough to know that Wisconsin cannot sustain that. We, the people of this state, as taxpayers, cannot keep affording, like in the last half hour you were talking about, say mentioning the $150,000 bus drivers, and then the other Democrat came back and said, well, that's an anomaly, and I beg to differ on that. They knew exactly what they were going to be able to get away with when they create that collective bargaining situation. So, I mean, it's something that we, the people in this state, do not want. We do not want to give these people that kind of a bargaining power against us.
Wouldn't you say that that we, the state, are split over that based on these results, Dan?
Well, no, because the people who are, like I said, artificially polarized by this, who are directly affected by it, are the ones who are going to go to the poll now, no matter what the race is about. They're going to go and try to make it look like it's in the favor against Walker, whoever is in power doing something they don't like.
I appreciate your call, Dan. Thanks very much. We have other callers and other guests to get their take on the results in the state Supreme Court race. It's 50-50 or so right now, too close to call between Justice David Prosser and Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. Joining us now, a guest who supported Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg in her bid for state Supreme Court justice, and a guest who is with us frequently on our Week in Review, Christine Bremer-Moogley, an attorney with the Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning, Christine. Thanks very much for joining us on what must be you must be very tired after such a late night.
Oh, Joy, I'm tired, but I'm still very optimistic. It was a big day yesterday. I had a jury trial in Taylor County close after 6 days, and then we drove to Madison to celebrate with Joanne Kloppenburg, so it was quite a day.
And you are still hopeful. Why is that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to say that I've been studying the results this morning, and of the precincts and the counties that are out, the vast majority of them are counties which Kloppenburg has taken. So, you know, if we look at this number of these counties that are out, Joanne has 5 out of 7 are counties that she has won. So I'm very optimistic that their numbers are only about 800 votes apart. And I think it's very likely on a recount that Joanne will come ahead and we'll have a new day for our Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And what about even after a recount? Do you think that Kloppenburg will be the victor?
Yes, I think absolutely. I think she will be the victor. I think that yesterday was an amazing turnout, and for me, it looks to me like the progressive movement is roaring back in Wisconsin. I mean, I'm very proud to say, you know, I hail from Wausau, and I'm very proud to say that our 7th Congressional District, which elected Sean Duffy, has a majority of the votes for Joanne Kloppenburg. And so people are waking up to what's going on in our state. They understand the importance of their vote, and they did vote. Of course, we would have liked more, but it certainly looks really, really strong for us. So I'm thrilled. You know, if we look at this, Joy, usually in this April election, it's a nonpartisan, but we recognize that that certainly we can say which side won every year, those of us that follow this. And usually in April, the Republicans win by 5 or 6 points. So this time, it's a totally different deal, and the progressives have woken up. They won the county election in Milwaukee, I see, by a huge majority. And so, you know, I think this is terrific that people are really waking up.
Briefly, we heard last night Brian Schimming, who is with the state's Republican Party, was looking at the numbers and saying this shows that Justice Prosser being so close, slightly in the lead right now, this just goes to prove that there are many people out there. The silent majority, he said, were out there, and they voted for Justice Prosser. What's your response to that?
Well, I absolutely disagree with that. I mean, when we started this, when we started looking at this race for justice or for the Supreme Court, we didn't think there was really much chance at all of winning this against an incumbent like, and especially someone who's so politically savvy as David Prosser. Look at the results from the primary. He won 55% with 4 candidates. So they're really, people were very pessimistic about any chance whatsoever. The fact that we're now within striking distance, 800 votes, is amazing. I think that it shows that there is no, the progressives certainly aren't being silent, and I think that the majority of the people have spoken, and I think when the recall is done, we're going to have a new Supreme Court justice.
We'll let you get a little nap in or get back to counting votes. Christine, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye.
Christine Bremer-Moogley. She was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, a supporter of Joanne Kloppenburg's in the campaign, and an attorney with Bremer and Trollop Law Offices in Wausau. We thank her for her take on the election results. Still too close to call. And your turn, too, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Your turn after we hear from another perspective, Margaret Farrow, former Republican Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, and one of our frequent guests as well on our Week in Review program. Margaret Farrow, thank you very much for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. So what do you think here? 50-50 in the votes. David Prosser, about 835 votes ahead, but still too close to call. Did you expect such a close election?
I think I did, because everyone I was hearing from and talking with and things I was looking at historically, everyone felt this was going to be the coin sitting on the edge rather than landing heads or tails. It was interesting. I heard Christine just now say, you know, they didn't expect it after the primary. Well, the primary was before the initiative, is, if my math is right, or just about the time that the agenda was introduced by Governor Walker to bring the state back to fiscal sanity. And this really isn't about, unfortunately, it isn't about a very good incumbent Supreme Court justice who has served the state so well in that capacity. And what it really became, unfortunately, was used as an agenda measure for Governor Walker and what was going on in the other branch of the in the legislature and the executive branch. I looked up numbers, and the last two Supreme Court races were, one was 790,000 votes total. That was the race that for the Chief Justice Shirley Abramson, that total vote, 790,000. The one before that, Justice Gableman's race with Louis Butler, an incumbent, was 830,000 total votes. So then you look at the totals today, we're looking at totals for each candidate that almost equal or are more than those two the totals for the last two races. So there definitely, this was not a typical Supreme Court race. This was not about the Supreme Court justice seat. I believe it was instead hijacked, and I think it was hijacked to try again to have the minority as of last November begin to become the majority in a very different way. And I think it's unfortunate because I've been through a recall on the local level. I've been through recall on the state legislative level. I mean, experienced it. I wasn't involved in it myself, but went through it because of I was there. And they are extremely complex. We all immediately, last night I was at the processor headquarters until 2 o'clock cheering on and trying to be persevering about it. But recalls, as we remember in Florida with the Bush-Gore recall and the hanging chads, recalls can be problematic. They can be long, and they unfortunately... the only ones that come out with anything are the attorneys that have to be hired because you have to follow the letter of the law.
Yeah, and I know you meant to say recount.
Recount. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I find myself, I guess, because of the other thing that's going on in the state. Thank you for clarifying that.
You probably also heard Christine Bremer-Moogley say that she is very hopeful that Joanne Kloppenburg will emerge the victor because the precincts that we're waiting to hear from are in counties that, you know, that would lean in her favor.
Yep.
Are you as hopeful for Justice Prosser?
Well, I think I think I have a pretty good idea where those where those precincts are and the counties they're in, and I think Christine is probably correct. I completely cannot understand how people go to bed in the capacity to have the votes tallied and to have the reports made and literally close shop and leave and go to bed, which in at least one case happened last night. I think our electoral system is a very interesting one for being in the 21st century. And I think that it's we saw some evidence of that last night. I think there's issues perhaps about absentee ballots. And this is all just going to get more and more complicated because we didn't have a clear answer in the actual election. And I think that's unfortunate for the state. And I think it's unfortunate if for some reason we do not elect the incumbent justice, because I think if anyone looks over his history and all the cases, over 900 that he was involved in, you can't argue with his the legal side of this. People just wanted to raise a totally different agenda in this race.
Your response to Christine's belief that the progressive movement is awake, is growing, and is going to turn the state blue again?
If we had a sealed border, and we had the state itself without outside influences, and I say that on all sides, I think we would be moving toward fiscal sanity. And I think the only reason this is at play is because we are dealing with national interests coming in, and the national interests in particular on trying to prevent our state from being able to afford its responsibilities and trying to drive the budget up and keep their six-figure jobs, the leadership of the public employee unions. This is all about Washington and the state related to the union movement for public employee unions and their salaries and their control of the state, which for a long time has dictated a lot about our budget.
Any other thoughts before we let you go? I know we just asked you to be with us for a couple of minutes.
Sure. No, I think the thing that has emerged, quite frankly, is people who are very starved for more and more information about government itself. I have never had so many people wanting to know how it works on all levels, how they're related to each other, one branch to the other. From every age, I think what I am cheered about is people, yes, are paying more attention, and they're trying to become much more informed.
And I know that you helped to do that in your other capacity as a you're on the board for Wisconsin Eye. Is that right?
Right. And it is a balanced board, and our funds are balanced, and we are down the middle neutral. And I am proud of it because it's the eye for the citizens on state government, and I'm very proud of it. And yes, people are using it more and more, both on Charter TV 995 and on wiseye.org on the internet. And thanks for noticing that, Joyce. Yeah.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Farrow is the former Republican Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin. And now let's hear from you for the rest of our time together. Janice in La Crosse, what is your reaction to the election results?
Hi. Thank you, Joy. I think you do a great job there. I'm for Prosser. I'm also feeling like everyone needs to take less. I don't have a pension. I have to pay for my own health care. And I mean, I don't care whatever is fair, but this thing has completely gotten out of hand. And I just want to mention this. I went to the UW La Crosse last week when Jesse Jackson was here. I know I was the only conservative Republican person in the room, but actually I end up having to sit in the front seat. One open seat right in front of Jesse Jackson was myself. And I sat there while he really rallied the troops to get up and go to Madison and vote and go against Walker. And oh my gosh, I never moved. I never got off my seat. But, you know, everybody else was jumping up and down, screaming and howling. Anyway, when it got done, I walked up to Jesse Jackson, or I grabbed his hand on the stage. I said, you know what? Just remember, freedom is not license. And I don't recall you telling these kids that freedom means responsibility. And, you know, he goes, yes, freedom means responsibility. You know, I mean, I said, you know, you're rallying these troops. I mean, you know, freedom, is you need to do what you ought to do, not just do anything you feel like doing. He's telling them, oh, don't pay your loans anymore, your school loans, because, you know, they've already been spending.
Janice, was he really saying that? I don't think he was really saying don't pay your school loans. Thank you very much, though, for your thoughts. We appreciate it. Andy in Lake Geneva. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Jen. How are you? I've been listening to your various call-ins and commentators. The irony of Wisconsin and this election, is just a microcosm of a bigger picture, as they pointed out. It's a division. It highlights the division that exists between labor and the others in the state. But what's ironic is the decisions of Wisconsin are going to be made in China. They're going to be made in the other states that have these, in quotes, right-to-work states. The loss of the manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin, the well-paying manufacturing jobs over the decades, has been inexorable, and that was the quality of worker that supported all these 150,000 or whatever the hell he were, bus drivers and the like. And what Wisconsin needs to do, both on the left and on the right, conservative, liberal, is wake up that the state is going to be inexorably eroding down and effectively eventually going broke. And it becomes then a microcosm of the whole country, where decisions are made by outside forces that we don't have much in the way of control over. And I guess that's just my statement. And you can just see these little microcosms, you know, the donut holes, and the focus needs to be on the donut problem that we're all facing, in Wisconsin just being a classic example of it.
Thank you very much for your thoughts. We'll take your thoughts, your reactions, your thoughts this morning as we wait for the final votes to be tallied in the race for state Supreme Court justice. It is a dead heat. It is too close to call between Justice David Prosser and his challenger, Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. About 835 votes separate the two right now. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn, coming up after 9 o'clock, talking with his guest about the quality of airlines. That's coming up after 9 o'clock. We are talking about the election results in the race for state Supreme Court justice, the one that's too close to call right now, and wondering what this all means. Was this a referendum on Governor Walker's policies? And if so, What do the results mean? Does it mean that we're just completely divided on this issue? John in Waukesha. Hello, John.
Yes, hello. I just want to talk briefly, not about the election, but the reaction to it. Not a scientific survey, but I've been going on a lot of different political web boards online, and all I've seen all morning is just the most vitriolic accusations of voter fraud and voter intimidation and all these kind of just bitter accusations going back and forth over this election. You know, side A saying, oh, you're intimidating voters. The other side B says, no, the union's hijacking the vote. All this just kind of proves what I've been thinking. The political atmosphere in the state is gradually becoming more and more toxic and poisonous, and there's more than enough people on the local and national level that are just feeding this. And if this keeps going on, I'm more than afraid something very bad is going to happen, which means political violence. And I hope to God I'm wrong, but that's just how I feel. It's just, without saying what side I'm on, it's just, I don't like the way this whole state is going. It's just becoming increasingly toxic. That's it. All I want to say thank you.
Thank you very much. By the way, voter turnout statewide about 33% higher than usual for a spring election. It's usually about 20%, and 20% is what was predicted. But again, 33%, 1.5 million voters going to the polls yesterday. Dave in Green Bay. Hello, Dave.
Good morning. Great topic. I think the point that someone made about the progressive movement really, you know, fighting back on this one doesn't quite make sense, in that if we had 30% of the people voting and 50% voted for Proster and 50% voted for Kloppenberg, that leaves 15% of the so-called progressive movement voting. So I think in a way, and it was, I think, very sad that that this developed into this because of what I probably feel about Prosser, but it was definitely a walker versus the labor unions, and the end result is I believe Walker won, because there's only 15% of the people in the state are unhappy enough to come out and vote against him.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your thoughts, Dave. 1-800-642-1234 if you would like to give us your thoughts before the end of the hour, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. David in Ironwood, Michigan is with us. Hello, David.
Yes, I just, that guy who says that they think they won. I mean, why do people think that when they win by just a handful of votes that they, it's a landslide? I mean, I don't know.
Well, no one won yet. No one won yet.
I know, but I mean, there have been many elections of recent where they just won by a handful of votes, yet from the way they take it, that they, you know, I mean, this is divided state government. And the guy says that 15%, well, same thing for the other side. I'm concerned about going too much for corporations and stuff. I mean, GE paid no taxes last year, and there's a website, U.S. Uncut, that lists all sorts of big corporations that paid no taxes. And I hear people talking about we all make shared sacrifice. Before they go after the teachers of my kids' education, how about get some of these huge corporations to pay their fair share?
Thank you very much, David, for your thoughts. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are getting your reaction to yesterday's election results. The only statewide race was the race for state Supreme Court justice. Justice David Prosser, the incumbent, right now a very narrow lead over Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenberg, his challenger, about 835 votes separating the two. Some 1% of the precincts still need to report, and some are saying that those precincts could indeed favor Kloppenberg. She could pull ahead, and if that's the case, there's also a great possibility of a recount. So we're gonna maybe be waiting for the results for quite some time. Cynthia in Stevens Point is with us next. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi. I guess I feel that the results show that
you know, the state is divided, and that if either side is trying to claim victory, they're missing the point, and that the governor should stop being so divisive and realize that both sides need to compromise. I mean, I am a far, far left-leaning liberal, but I can see that both sides need to be represented in this state, and I guess I'm just getting fed up with the divisive politics, and I think the results show that both sides need to come together and compromise so that this state can recover.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. Mike in West Bend is with us now. Hello, Mike.
Yes, and good morning to everybody. I think the state loses no matter who gets elected. And I say that because I believe that common sense has left the political arena. Our choices are either the extreme left, who don't understand business, or the extreme right, who want to pay everybody Walmart wages. And I believe that most of the people in the state that work hard, and that includes every single person, that when you would sit down and have a face-to-face, most people could agree on common sense issues. And now the national media will come in, and all the lawyers will come in, and this will go on for months, and it'll be just like listening to Keith Olbermann and Glenn Beck. I just, they're too extreme for me, and I wish we'd get back to, I guess Mr. Smith goes to Washington is gone. You know what I mean?
And you'd like us to be back somewhere in the middle. Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate your call. And we have time for another call or two. Teresa in Adams, hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a comment to make. My husband and I sat down at the table, actually, last night and said, you vote for Kloppenberg and I'll vote for Prosser, kind of to cancel each other out. And I wonder if a lot of people did that. We felt that Kloppenberg wasn't exactly qualified, like Prosser, you know, with his experience. But my husband's a teacher, so we thought, well, Prosser might be more inclined to Walker's views about education, and so we couldn't vote for him, but we're conservatives, yet we are disappointed in what's happening at the state level, so we were very divided, so we just decided, let's cancel each other's votes out, so I'm not surprised at all at the elections results, because maybe other people did that too.
Maybe. Teresa, thanks very much. Well, I'll be interested to find out as we do more programs on this, if that's the case. Adrian in Blair. Hi, Adrian.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I didn't vote as a referendum on anybody else except the candidates for the Supreme Court seat. I listened to all four of the original candidates speak, voted in the primary, and voted for the person I thought that was best qualified and least.
You voted for who you thought was the most qualified candidate, and none of this union or collective bargaining talk influenced your vote at all.
Didn't have anything to do with it, other than there was some. I thought there was some activism going on there, and I don't think that belongs on the Supreme Court.
Thank you very much to Adrian. That's going to be our last call for this hour, but you'll have another opportunity to sound off on this issue when Ben Marins talks with Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, Sean Johnson, and regular political scientist guest, UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim, during At Issue after 4 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Rob Ferret and to Chris Molina for producing these programs. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.